life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
Hello and welcome to Spirit Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. Thanks for joining us. For those of us with, who are with us for the first time, let's get off to a good start, shall we? What makes this show so unique is that every week, Mick, my husband, deep trance channels an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, and he is the spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group and are here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. So this week's show is going to be another chance for you to participate if you would like to join us with a question or a comment, or just join in with the discussion. We discuss something different every week. I think this week we're going to be talking about dreams and dream states, lucid dreaming, and all kinds of different things. So so basically, it's not a reading star situation, but obviously you get the picture. You can join in with us with the program and just go with it and see how we go. Anyway, if you like to, or if you'd like to just listen, that's up to you. But anyway, it's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but the number is 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi, everyone. I'm Mick Avery. And welcome to Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com, here every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, that's 1 p.m. EST, 6 p.m. GMT, UK time. And if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book and Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com, www.spiritsworkradio.com, and also now for the UK, www.mickavery.com. And as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which means that I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. Now, in this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a whole conversation with our spirit friends so they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized maybe were available to us. But when I go into the deep trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back, and that's the way it should be for deep trance. It's not inspired speaking or any other trance state, and because we wouldn't want my own thoughts, feelings from my mind, or any other situation from my conscious reality to get in the way of the contact, because otherwise that wouldn't be pure spirit communication. So I'm going to say goodbye for now, hand you back to Sylvie, and hopefully it'll only be kind of a minute or something like that, maybe less than that, before Gregory comes. Okay, so goodbye, everyone, for this week. Thanks.
And just before I tell you about Gregory, basically I've got to say that if you would like to send in your suggestions for me to put to Gregory on your behalf one week, then I can do that. Just email me at enq@spirit-teaching.com. And or if you would like us to do a whole program, a show topic, then send me your suggestion and also as many questions as you have to go with that. And because in that way, it's a lot easier for us to bring you information about things that you really want to know and keep it interesting for everybody, because we're all pretty much the same, really. Anyway, I'd just like to tell you about Gregory. He was asked before his physical life in the early 1700s, if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group who are going to be helping us discover a more harmonious way of life on the earth plane, and specifically to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet and aid us all onto a road of recovery and raising our vibrations and the vibration of the planet in, as a consequence. The group consists of eminent scientists and physicists, scholars, as well as ordinary people, and between them they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life and to think outside of the box and explain situations that affect us and our future, and of course those who wish to come after us who haven't had a physical life yet. We do Akashic readings. Like I say, it's not a readings style show that we do, but we do Akashic readings, and that is something that's quite different. And you can have a one-to-one with Gregory on the telephone if you'd like to take a look at that from our website. Once again, it's www.spirit-teaching.com. Okay. I do believe Gregory's through now. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light, blessings be, dear friend, little bird. Hello to you, each and every one. God bless upon your journeys, yes, and welcome to our little soiree of words, our situation of consciousness we would like to bring to you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, we have a few questions come in on dreams and dream states and that sort of thing. So
yes.
I will actually just start there, I think, from Sharon in the UK.
Yes.
Okay. Why are dreams more vivid and different if you fall back to sleep after waking up, or if you go back to bed and lie down on the couch or something like that during the daytime? People do find this. This isn't just Sharon.
Yes.
I've noticed this as well, so this is quite interesting.
Yes, yes, quite so. Actually, my dear friend, it tends to be part of the consideration that you as a biological being have to go through. In this respect, I'm saying that when people are, shall we say, they're falling asleep in the daytime or something like that, maybe it's something which you have not expected to do in your creative state, not as engineered, let's say, then. That is how it makes it different. You see, if you are going to go to bed at night or whatever time that you go to bed to sleep, that's a purposeful situation. Therefore, it's like as though you sit into a form of REM sleep that then enables you to have a very quiet, relaxed, and total immersion, if you like, into the sleep state. The point really is that the illuminated states of sleep, when you tend more to travel, when you tend more to have experiences of consciousness, as well as experiences, if you like, of having out-of-body experiences, or maybe transitional journeys of a type really to do with your consciousness, they tend to come at those times when you just simply switch off and relax very quickly. That's the point, really. If you are taking a part of your sleep as the main situation of your time, you tend to move into it, transition into it in a different way. When you are going just for a nap or something like that, a short spell of sleep, it's like you just let go, because you want to get it done with and over with as quickly as possible. Therefore, by your just simply letting go that way, enables you to travel more freely. It also allows, in fact, the situation of the position of your consciousness vis-a-vis your spirit, and how that releases from your physical state simply means that, in a sense, you're able to let go of your physical state reality and then have more illuminated dreams.
Yes, that makes sense, actually.
Oh, good, I'm so
Yeah, I'm just, because I'm just thinking, yes, you do. You just lie there, you let go, okay, this is it.
Yes, that's right. Because you haven't got too much time to do it in. So you just want to get it done with so that you can experience the complete relaxation very quickly, very deeply. And therefore, what happens is it's the complete letting go that compels you then, in a sense, because you've let go so freely, that, in a sense, is what many people find then enables them to have genuine out-of-body experiences, genuine states of conscious visiting.
Mm. So if you've gone back to sleep after waking up, shall we say...
in the middle of the night or something.
Yeah,
like
or, you know, it's Sunday morning, you wake up at the usual time, oh, no, great, I can go back to sleep now, haven't got to get up after all.
Yes.
Usually that's the time when we have the most ridiculous dreams.
Yes, and yes, but that's because, oh, I can just let go, and you do. That's the point. That's exactly the same thing that we have been trying to drive at in many respects to do with meditation, because so many people want to stick some kind of journey onto it, or some kind of fabric of like a combination of, oh, well, you must have this journey or that journey in order to have your meditation. It's like some sort of strange archetype, as though you have to have a journey walking through a wood or this sort of thing or whatever it is, so as to create fires of imagination within yourself, which are actually nothing to do with your conscious journeying at all, but are simply relaxation motives that enable you to visit various places in your mind. It's nothing really to do with your spirit.
And, okay.
Do you see?
Yeah.
And so when you are actually relaxing and having real dream sequences, as in these short sleep times, it simply means that you relax in exactly the same way that we try to bring you to relax in a meditative state, in a genuine meditative state, just to let go. And by that letting go enables you to come full circle, if you like, to really feel and understand exactly what it's like to let go and to be at one with your spirit, to be within the spirited journey. And in many respects, then, this takes on a completely different hue, completely different situations. The fabric of the universe, it's like as though it comes and faces you.
Okay, but sometimes these dreams aren't very nice. And
I understand that too, and sometimes, yes.
Is that to do with the... is that significant to how that particular person is at the time? Or
yes,
is
it
there
can
a different
be.
Reason it, behind that?
Well, it may be. There are many different reasons, and it will depend entirely upon the unit of consolidation at the time. That means what that person is going through, what their dream sequences are about, can be so often dictated by emotional field events moving through the day, situations of relationship recovery, recovery of ideas, recovery of symptoms of fears that lay latently within the conscious mind. So all of these can then naturally take effect. For example, if you have someone who is a manic depressive, oftentimes what will happen is they will have a great many of these dream sequences in these kinds of short sequences of sleep when they are actually suffering from the most heightened realities of their way of life. And it can often be that they're the most distraught times.
Mm.
You see?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So, some people never dream at all. Does that matter?
That's very true. Does it matter? No, not really.
Is there a reason?
Just because someone doesn't dream doesn't mean to say that they are not aware of their spirit. And I have to say also, and take great effect of this, that many people, mediums, will come to say to you, do you dream in colour?
oh, well, it's no good if you don't dream in colour. If you only dream in black and white, you're obviously not a medium. And all of these sort of denigrating things I can often see, I often witness many people's mouths downturned once they understand that just because they don't dream in colour but only in black and white, that there's something inherently wrong with them, either physically, mentally, or... and that too, of course, casts different negative states upon them. It's not true.
Good.
So it is to say... I know of some people who have, in fact, dreamt very little. They are very matter-of-fact, tending to be very plausible people, people who are generally very focused, perhaps pragmatic, and scientific within their thought and reasoning within the physical side of life, generally tending not to allow the physical mind to wander too much. And yet, those kinds of people can oftentimes make very ready conditioners of communication from the ethereal world.
And what makes you say that?
Purely and simply because they are acquiring minds that they generally tend to need proof positive. So therefore, we'll go back and forth again and again once some form of communication is established in order to resonate with it, in order to establish truth, fact, and format, you see? And that then would enable them to, they would always want something verified, possibly in triplicate.
Okay, yeah, okay. So dream being, if you don't dream, it doesn't matter really at all either way.
No, absolutely not. It's not to say then that a person who does not dream, this is what I'm trying to point out, that a person who does not dream does not have an open state of mind. It may simply be that at this present time in their life that they don't. Not everyone does all the way through their life. They generally, human beings, tend to have spells of dreaming and waking dreams, even as opposed to sleeping dreams. For example, then, by a waking dream, I'm talking about someone who has almost like a still moment when they are actually engaged within life, but suddenly everything stops.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you,
I
little
do.
Bird?
Yes. Well, yes. I think, well, we call that a daydream, when you're totally fixated on one spot and your eyes sort of sting a little bit.
Yes,
and you
glaze
just glaze over and
yes.
You just stare and you just don't want to stop staring. You focus on something.
Yes.
But it's a change in focus.
Yes.
What is that?
Yes, it's quite strange, is it not?
Yes.
Actually, what's going on in that situation is that your conscious physical reality has become entwined with your spirit. That is what happens at that moment. And that... it's as though it actually catches you off balance, but doesn't allow you to fall. So it, in many respects, means that for that brief second or few seconds of time, you cannot think of anything, and yet you are immersed in this, like, closeness that you are held in love. And yet it doesn't feel like love, but it feels like energy. Oftentimes it can be almost as though you see things around you moving, but almost as though the part that you're looking at remains still, even though everything else is moving.
Well, yes. I mean, somebody can be talking to you and you say, you can actually say, oh, no, hang on a minute. I'm daydreaming. I can't stop this fixated stare at whatever.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, and you can't summon that up or, you know, make it happen or anything. And it's, why don't we want to stop doing it? Why, what makes us like it?
Because in actual fact, friend, what's happening at that instant is that your consciousness is with your spirit. So it's in complete union with it. That's part of the reason why you don't want to stop it, because the feeling is very intense.
It is, but it's not exactly enlightening.
No, because it's not of the physical world. So what you're trying to do when you say, yes, but it's not enlightening, is that you're putting your transitional mind into thinking,
but it's supposed to be like this. My spirit is supposed to be like this.
Oh, yes. Slightly more enlightened than I am, hopefully.
Yes, I know that. But that's simply because you're putting your process of consciousness into it. And that's part of the problem that I always have in describing and in discussing matters with people from physical reality, purely and simply because oftentimes many people in physical reality do not understand what the difference is between their physical reality and spirit. We may talk about it until the cows come home, are milked, fed, bedded down, and milked again, and are back out in the fields the next day. The point is that all of this situation is not going to matter a jot if human beings do not let go of their conscious will reality to enable them to feel another universe, to feel the presence of another universe. Just the presence of it is something that you oftentimes experience day in, day out, in these little dream moments of stillness that appear to fixate you into almost like as though you are looking at infinity, but it's actually within a different time zone, a different reality, a different dimension.
But the funny thing is that when we sit in meditation with our eyes closed for a connection with our spirit, and yet this happens randomly with our eyes open.
Exactly. Yes. That's part of the reason why it is that we try to say that if you use a constructive way of meditating, that is some kind of journeying experience or some such thing as that, maybe guided meditation or meditation with a light or some other thing to help you as a placebo effect or a way-given effect. So that means you're concentrating on the effect or the object rather than on what you are doing, allowing you to escape your physical reality. The point is that when you are doing those things, you're not necessarily really creating the journey with your spirit, because you're still holding onto your physical reality.
You're using your physical brain and consciousness
to obtain it.
To do something.
Yes, to be it.
Yes.
Yes. And so really what you're getting back is simply your conscious physical reality. You are not necessarily having a genuine out-of-body experience or dream state or being with your beautiful, pure spirit. And that's the difference, really. I understand that in many respects it's very difficult to put this across into the physical reality, purely and simply because the ether world, many people are not ready for it. They'd like to be, I understand that. But they simply are unable to let go of the physical parameters of life. And I don't blame you. It's what you judge everything by. It's how human beings, physical beings, react. Even if you're in a prayer, you act.
I think a lot of people are frightened of letting go because of, for instance, bad dreams that you might have had or whatever.
Negative energies.
Yes. That they are frightened to, shall we say, jump to let go.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And I do stress the use of caution here as well. It's not something that I'm saying that you should do so lightly or certainly not in any given environment. I am suggesting here something that's really very sacred, just in the same way that Inuit peoples across your planet have often sought ways, different ways, to bring about this kind of sacred dance with the ether world, to enable them to really bless with it and be it in the safest way. I understand that even in this situation, sometimes the rites of passage, particularly with Inuit peoples, may be in the warrior trial or something like that, maybe a warrior dream state reality, whereby people go to a sweat lodge and mix with the warrior state of spirit, that it can often become something of a great detriment, purely and simply because people oftentimes are not ready for it. It's something beyond them, outside of their scope of reality. And also, really should only be practiced by people who are used to being in a sweat lodge to begin with, because it can become overpowering.
Okay.
That's, for example, a similar situation that happened, I understand, quite recently, a few months ago, in the state of Nevada. And three people died.
Okay.
As a result of it. I just cast no aspersions upon this matter. I am just merely saying that oftentimes it can even be people of Inuit state who, after all, they have to sit, and they do sit in a sweat lodge, take part in that kind of ritualistic seeking many times every year before they would encourage something of that warrior nature, as it is a very deeply evolving situation, condition, and should really only be practiced by people who are experienced in that state. It's not something to be taken on lightly. And that's exactly the same for you in any kinds of dream sequence, ritualistic practice, or whatever it is that you may get up to. And that also goes, of course, for many religious experiences as well. There are some which are, I suppose, I can't say that they're detrimental, because that would then create something of a condition to do with what we're saying against some religion or another. So I'm not saying that. I would not say that. I'm just really saying that human beings, people in physical state reality, really have to be more careful, objective, and learn lessons from past behavior.
Okay. So what about... So Debbie from New York was asking about lucid dreaming. She sent some questions.
Yes.
I will go into this, but...
Please do, yes.
Okay. Can we learn to answer ourselves or find answers from our subconscious mind in lucid dreaming?
Well, that depends, Debbie. To begin with, it depends upon whether you are taking this as... I suppose, in a sense, a part of your dreaming that needs to be answered is not necessarily, if it's of great importance, will depend upon how you are preparing yourself, and not forgetting that at various states of your dreaming, if you are asking the universe to supply something, you have to be careful of how you structure that event. So part of the reason why, really, I would suggest that mostly this is something which is taken up, I suppose, in a sense, forming a part of a ritualistic practice. That's not being ritualistic for the sake of it, but by saying an invocation or prayer to begin with when you first enter into it, and at the end, once you have finished, that would be something of honouring and rightful passage. So that means to say then, in respect of seeking the important situations in answers of life questions or in answer of consciousness questions, really should be sought at in a different level, on a different way, really through meditative state, rather than allowing yourself in dream state reality to have these sequences of events. I'm not saying don't do it. In many respects, people will tend to have elusive, illuminated dreams, lucid, illuminated, oftentimes in miraculous color, or even miraculous black and white. Oftentimes there will be situations of even sound and different kinds of interactive state that you have. However, what I'm saying is that if you're only doing this in dream state, you need to be able to have, not that you would automatically do whatever was carried out within the dream state. You don't want to fall into that
thicket or a blackberry patch. Mm,
okay, well, I do have some other parts to this question. So
yes, yes.
Shall I go on to that now?
Yes, please, let's
yes,
do
because that. She says that she's been learning how to answer your own questions to achieve goals, for instance.
Yes, I understand that.
Finding out what the future holds so that you're asking yourself
in a lucid
dream state.
Yes, quite so. And
you know,
yes.
Asking who your soulmate is, what career you should be doing or where you should be living and all of that sort of thing, basically.
Yes. But in a sense, though, my dear friend, what I'm saying is that it really is something that you ought to be doing in a more controlled environment.
But that's not dreaming, is it? Because if
no,
she knew
it's not.
The answer,
it's not actually dreaming, no.
I mean, that would either be communicating with her spirit.
Yes.
Or her guides and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Or, whoever,
or someone else, maybe from your soul group or some
yes,
such thing as that.
Yes, somebody who was
walking going.
But you're saying actually that it could actually invite somebody that you didn't want to invite.
Yes, and not without realizing it.
Yes.
That's my point. There are many, for example, there are many children who have begun, as we have witnessed, who have begun talking to and making friends with beings, unseen forces, who they say they're friends, and it usually starts very amicably.
Mm.
And that these situations then transition from just simply being dream state to actual meetings and actual events that take place within the condition of mind. So, for example, the person starts to ask of the energy, which they may think is their own energy, they may think is some other higher purpose guide or higher consciousness of themselves. They're asking this energy for information. To do with, maybe even to the limit of a child's experience, it might be that the energy is telling them what clothes to wear.
Hmm. Okay. Now, it's funny because we're talking about letting go, aren't we?
We are, in certain
situations. And now we're saying that in other situations you shouldn't be letting go, because obviously these are actually done in a... shall we say, a very voluntary way, actually working out how you can actually learn how to do this. People, you know, therapists or whatever actually teach you how to do this sort of thing.
On purpose, yes. Absolutely.
Answer your own questions.
Yes, yes, quite so.
But the thing is, we can't be in control of our dreams, can we? Can we actually do
that? Well, in a sense, I understand that some people would do, purely and simply because what they're doing is that they are ascending, transcending their dream state, not to the present reality, but for forward thinking. So in a sense, it's like investigating what your own goals are. They are not exact. They are not exceptions if they become true or right. It's can be a way of channeling your energy into corrective posturing so that you actually do and gear yourself into what you want to achieve. So in a sense, it's like enabling you to bring matters of your energy into sharper focus to enable you, because you're looking into the future of your consciousness, that's enabling you to bring it together in a focused way. So that you are then not just doing it as a game, but you're not just believing it, but you are accelerating it because it's something of a positive reality that you want to capture.
Mm. So it's more like the law of attraction, really.
Absolutely, yes.
It's your energy that you're working on.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, I mean, I'm thinking, well, if I can't work it out when I'm awake, I've got no chance when I'm asleep. Do you know what I mean? And usually inspiration from whatever source is when you least expect it, basically.
Yes.
So to actually try to do something purposefully like that,
yes.
I, admittedly, then you're supposed to go off to sleep. But I guess then if something does happen and you wake up with a light bulb moment, you will say that you created that, whereas you might have done anyway.
Yes. Or for you, little bird, you might have fell off your perch.
Oh, very good. Very good. But you do. It's incredible the amount of rubbish you can dream when you actually couldn't, and I've said this before, I know, you actually couldn't make things up.
No,
in the same
quite
way.
True.
You
no,
know.
That is quite true.
Sometimes and I wake up and I say to Mick, well, thank goodness for that, because I didn't want to go and do, I don't know, whatever silly thing I was just going to be doing with all these different people. Sometimes I'm glad to wake up, you know.
Yes.
Not because it's awful, but because it's just bizarre.
Yes.
Silly.
Yes, I
pointless.
Understand. Yes. Quite so. That doesn't mean to say, however, that this kind of focusing is not good for you. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm.
I'm not suggesting here that it's something alien or that you shouldn't be doing it.
Mm.
But I'm saying that you should draw the right kind of energy from it.
Mm.
And the right kind of understanding from it as well. So that means that it needs to be something that you repeat. If you are going to exercise a condition or a thought pattern, maybe it's something that you really want to do in the future and you don't know quite how you're going to go about it, then by extending this dream state reality into being a constructive pathway for you for change means to say that perhaps parts of this will be that you galvanize your energy into a central and focused way of working.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself would enable you to perhaps set goals and achieve them. The point is, really, of what I'm saying here, is that whatever goals that you set, you need to set them not too far ahead, but understand the dream that you wish to make a reality. But and then simply achieve by setting, I suppose, other goals that you're able to achieve in one day, so that you do not feel that you are succumbing to negativity or
failing.
Yes.
Mm, has to be realistic, doesn't it? I mean, it can be.
Yes,
it can be literally the dream of dreams, but how you get there, the steps to get there need to be realistic.
Yes. So even if it appears to be that you at the outset have an impossible dream, doesn't mean to say that doesn't make it impossible.
No. Unless you say that you want it next week or next year.
Yes, that's right.
It really
yes.
is silly.
Unless it becomes then a focus of your change, that means that, well, all of the time I know that I am working toward this goal. And this goal is the sacred place in your heart. You know you wish to be, not to make you happy, but to bring completion to your life.
Mm, because I think most people that have got to their dream actually don't realize it.
Yes.
And then they are still reaching for something else. But,
yes, quite
but
so.
They've moved the goalpost slightly because it didn't feel
yes.
like they thought it was going to feel.
And who knows what that dream may be? That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
Oftentimes, many thoughts and feelings in a person's mind will be purely and simply, oftentimes, maybe it's to do with the attraction of the fabric of physical life. Maybe it's to do with financial rewards. Maybe not. Maybe nothing so frivolous. It could be something as simple as one's personal freedom.
Mm.
That can be a dream reality that once a person reaches it, they reach a state of absolute bliss and are as happy as they could ever have been. Maybe because for all of most parts of their life, they had other people telling them what to do.
Mm.
And finally, in the last stages of their life, they find that no one is telling them what to do.
Mm.
That they can just do as they will of it. And the pleasure of being able to do that, of create that reality of openness, leads them to ecstasy.
Now, you said before that there's a timeline that people could dip into. Now, because some people dream and it is more purposeful and it's not because they've asked for it.
That's right.
It's something to do with them and their energy or their spirit.
Yes.
their soul group, whatever,
yes,
that enables them to do that, to be of service in that way. What's that entailing then?
Well, that whole situation is really about their journeying of a different matrix, really. It's a different way of journeying. It's really tied to dream state reality. Again, for example, there are some who dream in states of awareness of where they're going to be the following day or next week. And they'll have the complete journey of what they're doing, the places they'll see, the people that they'll meet.
Mm.
Not necessarily names, but certainly the faces. And they, if they are able to draw, would be able to draw each one.
So what is different about this person to other people?
Well, that depends. It depends really upon their purpose of makeup. Why? Maybe it has something to do with reasons of them having a physical life. Not saying that every physical life is a choice, or that every physical life is already made up, written down, and set in stone. It isn't. However, the gifts of spirit that one individual has over another doesn't mean to say make them better or worse.
But most people that I've heard that have this had never heard of it before, didn't realize that that was what they were doing.
Yes.
You know, they haven't sort of put themselves up on a, you know,
a
platform to say this is what I do, and intention of trying to teach other people to do it because they don't know how they do it
or how it works with them.
Yes.
And they won't know necessarily what the mechanism is.
No.
That's not the point. The point for most people when they have a spirit experience or a spirit gift which comes to them, which they suddenly find themselves involved in, yet they don't know exactly what the mechanic is that's driving it, it's not necessary for them to know. Oftentimes, it would be complicated for them to actually understand, really, why that is happening, or for what reason, or what situations in their physical life contribute toward it. I am well aware that what we try to do in our work is to illuminate to people certain conditions of their spirit gifts and their realities so that they are able to then face them and work with them more closely, more harmonically.
Mm.
So I'm not putting that off or setting it aside, but I'm really saying that in many respects, people who are going through dream state realities, which are to do with future life, dipping into the timeline, or some other such thing, is actually quite a rare condition in the physical life state. Some people have it, they just move through it, and it may only be with them for 5 or maybe 10 years, and then it moves on to someone else.
How can this happen? Why?
That can happen purely and simply because of a change in the person's energy, or because the spirit team at that time enabled that to happen so that they would come on to one certain pathway that would then enable them to do something else.
Right, okay.
So that's not to say it's all foretold and written down or set in stone either. It simply means that person was in that physical condition at that time to enable that ability to accept the information. Sometimes it can happen to people and they don't want it. They don't want any part of it. I don't want to see people drowning in the sea or something like that. And I can understand that completely.
Well, yes, because then the other thing is, you know, what good is it for me? What can I do with it?
Yes, well, none whatsoever, unless they actually work with it and are able to promote it in some way to enable these strange facets of human consciousness behavior, interacting with the spirit world in this way, to bring it about to, I don't know, I suppose mass identity.
Mm, well, I think, you know, one of the biggest problems with having those sorts of gifts is actually convincing other people that it can be of a benefit to somebody.
Yes, and
because
it's,
you know, unfortunately, people take a lot of believing and people poo-poo it. and that sort of thing. So that can be a problem. But obviously, like you say, I can see how it would help them through a situation in order to get them onto a different path. To let them know they have gifts for a start. Just to say, hello, this is what you're capable of. But I guess most people would like to do that with their eyes open.
Well, yes, I understand
that.
But
if your energy is that way, then it's that way, isn't it?
Yes, that's very true. And it does mean to say, of course, that you may then have an inroad, if you are of that way, to be able to practice with it, perhaps to bring it into the physical reality of now, rather than it always happening at night during dreaming or something like that.
Well, yes, maybe if you if your team could bring you things like they knew who was going to be coming to, shall we say, if you were given a demonstration or talking to somebody, giving them reading
that
you knew before they got there.
Yes.
Lots of things about them.
Yes, yes.
Do you know what I mean?
So. Absolutely.
Before you spoke
so.
To them, where they were going to sit
that
sort of thing.
Yes, and of course there have been many experiments of such things whereby perhaps there would be written the day beforehand a seat number and a name of a person and in a certain place, and then the whole event comes about and they turn to that, take the envelope out and open it up and read exactly what they have dreamt of the day before or the week before or whenever it was.
Mm.
They're very interesting experiments, purely in sympathy. Many people would say, oh, well, they're a fix or whatever, or they're in some other way false. The point is, that's like a scientist really filling their ears and eyes with sand.
Well, the thing is, it's all to do with opening people's eyes to something bigger and, bigger than they initially thought, which is what we're always trying to do.
Yes. And of course, we're not here denigrating any people just because they're scientists or whatever. There are many who have met great open minds and many with closed ones.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So how important are dreams?
Very important for many different reasons. Children start with dreams actually when they're in the womb. The fetus begins dreaming in the womb, and these are purposeful dreams to enable partly for shapes, identification, realization, alignment of the physical, biological being. That's moving away from the spirit of this situation and of ether world contact and all the rest of it. I'm just talking about a physical, biological being and how this relates then to their physical reality. They need to have dream state to grow. They need to have dream state to recognize their own reality, to be able to configure the process of one and one, to configure the processes of spatial awareness, to configure the processes of movement and sound. Is all created within dream state reality that enables the synapse to join within the physical brain from one part of the cerebral cortex to another. It enables the whole embodiment of a human being and what it is to be physical in exactly the same way as it does for animals too. Part of the reason why puppies dream, all different offspring have states of dreaming.
So the fetus in the womb, we dream here about physical things, life on earth, etc.
Yes.
The spirit has just come, the baby has just come from the spirit world.
Yes.
What does the baby dream of?
Well, the baby will often dream of maybe interactive sounds or situations it has already interplayed with, even at just a few months. The vibration of the world outside the womb will be interacting with the child inside as a physical being. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the reason why we always say that for many children who come from volatile or negative states, environmental states, it can be, in a sense, a situation then that child has to overcome in their physical life, presence and experience once born. It can be also that
you mean with the parents fighting while it's in the womb?
Yes, maybe, or maybe just in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
That yeah, it's something negative violence on a media screen or something like that. Mm. Loud music.
Mm.
That can also have an effect. Sometimes not detrimental, I have to say. Mm. Sometimes if it's very rhythmic and natural and very harmonic and indigenous, it can be a situation that is very empowering to the energy.
So the baby obviously can travel with his spirit, sort of like have out-of-body experiences even in the womb.
Yes, well, in actual fact, having more of those out-of-body experiences than in.
Mm.
So the consciousness reality is, in a sense, only taking sporadic trips. It isn't there all the time.
Bearing in mind, then, we ought to, I think, say here that the spirit is attached to the physical body at the moment of conception, or the, or shall we say, the energy.
Yes, that is true.
At conception.
Yes.
So everything starts from there, as in the physical.
That is true.
Mm. Okay.
And so at that point, the connectivity really is very illuminated, but is only very tacit. It's a tiny, thin sliver of a connection. Gradually, as the child grows in the womb, so the etheric bead from the spirit to the child via the solar plexus gradually becomes thicker and thicker as the months grow and add to it.
Mm.
It's, I suppose, partly because of the transition of thought and consciousness, which tends to thicken it, and the transition of energy, of emotive states that are triggered in human physical reality, and also, and this is, doesn't just apply to humans, it applies to all beings who have a physical state.
And so, presumably, then the journeying with the spirit of the fetus is a lot easier, shall we say. Is it?
Yes, absolutely so. It's more transitionary, if you like.
Because it's a stronger aspect, isn't it, obviously?
Yes, yes, I too. Absolutely.
And the fetus hasn't got the physical life garbage in the subconscious mind yet.
Yes.
Getting in the way. And
yes, hasn't picked up all the flotsam and
negativity.
Negative states. Yes. Mm,
absolutely.
Yes, quite. Well, hopefully not in any event.
So,
and for some children, of course, even if they are born in absolute dire poverty, can be the sunniest of flowers.
Mm. So is dreaming, the dreams that we dream here, subconsciously, I mean, not the aspirations, is that important to our transition to the spirit world when we pass, when we cross over? Does this have any bearing on anything, any difference?
Oh, most certainly, my dear friend, particularly if it changes one's mind, if it changes one's ethereal balance, if it changes one's concept of who they are, who they think they are, why they are present, why they want to do the things they do, their decision-making, their morality, judgments.
Mm.
All of these are such necessary platforms of not just the human physical psyche, but also, of course, the spirit eventual makeup, and how that psychological impact is going to have deep situations upon the physical being and upon their spirit.
I mean, I guess dreams are the thing that everybody, that makes everybody realize that there is something different, you know, something greater.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That they can't quite put their finger on, no matter what description and terminology that they come to, what, you know,
yes,
what result they think is happening.
Yes, I feel, my dear friend, it's part of the reason why so many human beings have such a great fascination for all things that go bump in the night, purely and simply because each situation, each condition is still, in a sense, a kind of proof, morbid or intensive or
exciting,
exhilarating, exciting or hilarious or maybe even ultimately frightening. Can all be situations of, well, it's not of your physical reality, so it enables you to see into the other reality that exists.
Absolutely.
Yes, and continues to.
Wow, that's been wonderful. Great.
Yes, well, thank you so very much, my dear friend, little bird, and everyone. I thank you so with love and light, love and light. Blessings upon your journeys, friends. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Gregory. See you next week. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. And thank you so much for listening. If you would like to drop us a line with some questions for the show 1 week, then you can do that from our website. This is Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.